In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, one God. Amen. Please be seated. So apologies to the Altar Guild for throwing you guys off today. I know we were expecting it to be a green day, and I threw you off by telling you it's white today for All Saints, but it's one of those days. It's a very special day in the church, right? Today is, for those of you who've been coming to the Book of Common Prayer forums, which I highly recommend, that take place right after the service, where you can learn about the prayer book. If you were at the first week, you got to learn about how we move things around on the calendar sometimes, right? And so this is one of those weeks where we actually had a feast day on Wednesday, but because this is such an important feast day in the church, we get to move it to the following Sunday. And so it's one of those rare occasions where a feast that takes place during the middle of the week takes precedence over a Sunday. It doesn't happen very often, but today is one of those days. And so this last week, we actually celebrated sort of a little triduum of sorts. You know, the triduum that we do during Easter is Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, up into Easter Vigil, and then Easter. Well, there's a triduum around All Saints as well. There's All Hallows Eve, which, of course, most of us know as Halloween. Then we have the actual day of All Saints, which is traditionally November 1st. And then we have All Souls, which is the following day. And the way that it typically works in the tradition is that you celebrate the saints on All Saints Day, and then All Souls is kind of for everybody else. And kind of creates this a little bit of a two-tiered system, I think. And of course, a lot of people don't realize that Halloween is also a sacred day in the church. Funny story about that, at St. Bridget's, we celebrated an All Hallows Eve service because, well, you know, it's a church in a cemetery. Why would we not want to do a Halloween service? And it's a service straight out of the Book of Occasional Services. You know, it's pretty standard liturgy. But when we advertised it out in some community groups in Oceanside, we had some evangelical Christians who were up in arms about having a Halloween service. They thought, how can you worship the devil? And I'm like, okay, we're having a church service at a church. Everything comes out of the Bible, and yet you're accusing us of worshiping the devil. It was a little strange. But it shows that a lot of people in the common imagination, this idea of the sacredness of Halloween as being the eve or the vigil of All Saints, that story has been kind of lost, you know, in our culture. And there is, of course, some connection to that, the pagan holidays and all that, and which is the case for a lot of Christian holidays, to be quite frank. And which one came first between the pagan holiday and the Christian holiday is a subject of debate among scholars, so it's not really clear. But it all goes to show that this is a time that was recognized as sacred by a lot of different religious traditions. The celebration of All Saints comes at a time where it's kind of what you might call a thin time or a liminal time of the year where we recognize the presence of the people who have gone before us, our ancestors, the people who've gone before us in the faith. And there's just something about this time, I think this season, that suggests that. We don't get it quite so much here in Southern California, right? But typically this is the time of the year where it gets dark earlier, you start to feel a little bit of a chill in the air, the shadows get longer. And I say, you know, it's pretty ironic to talk about chill in the air when it was in the 90s last week, right? But we also, this time of year here, we have the Santa Ana winds that come in, right? And those can create kind of interesting feelings in people. It's a time of uncertainty, perhaps, a time of change, a time where we know that the seasons are changing and something is on the horizon. And so this time where we think and talk about death is appropriate to this time. And when we think about the saints, it's not just about remembering them for who we are, who they were, but it's also because their example can help us to navigate this feeling of change and get in right relationship with it. So who are the saints? Who are the saints? Other than a football team from New Orleans that some people really love and other people really hate. Now, if you ask, it depends. The answer to that question, I think, is going to depend on your denominational background, right? If you're Catholic, you're going to say the saints are people that have been honored by the church. They've performed miracles. They've done this certain checklist of things to be called a saint. If you're Protestant, you might say, the saints are all of us. We're all saints. Especially if you grew up Lutheran like I did, that idea of saints, that Catholic idea is like, oh, no way. We celebrate Reformation Day on November 1st. And that's about all of us. We're all the saints. There's no privilege. Now, as Anglicans, we're kind of somewhere in the middle, right? Which is kind of how we do everything, right? We take the middle road. We honor the saints, but we also recognize that we're all part of the communion of saints. But I think no matter which way you look at the saints, there's still something about that word, saint, that puts people in kind of a rarefied air. You know, there's kind of a patina around the idea of the saints. They're people that we admire, but we don't necessarily try to replicate. Right? They are the saints. One of my favorite saints, who's not quite yet canonized as a saint, but she's on her way, is Dorothy Day, who was one of the founders of the Catholic worker movement. And Dorothy Day used to say, "Don't call me a saint. I don't want to be dismissed that easily." And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because once we put somebody up on a pedestal and call them a saint, then we can kind of keep them at arm's length, right? We don't, oh, they're a saint. We don't have to really live up to them. We can keep ourselves at a safe distance from the concept of sainthood, because we can say, well, I'm no saint. But I thought, what if we thought about the saints not as this group of people that we glorify, that we hold up, that we set aside, but what if we thought of them as something else? And so going back to that theme of Halloween for a minute, there's a scary story, there's a horror movie that I think helps to tell this story. Anybody here familiar with the Stephen King novel It? Anybody familiar with that? Okay. Then it was turned into a miniseries in the 90s, and then it was turned into a couple of movies a few years later. So most of you probably at least heard of it. It's one of Stephen King's probably better known works. But if you don't know, it's a story about these kids in this small town in Maine who experience the coming of this, I don't know how else you would describe it, sort of a demonic force. And it manifests in the form of this terrifying clown who goes by the name Pennywise. And the whole story is about how this clown sort of infests their dreams and their lives and, you know, murders people and all of this stuff. But he particularly focuses on this little group of kids. And the kids that he focuses on are, you would say they're kind of a group of outcasts, a group of victims. They're all victims of abuse or bullying. They're rejected by their peers. And when they find out that all of them are being visited in one way or another by this demonic clown, they find out that they need to band together. And they call themselves the Losers Club. Right, because they're a group of kids who are completely rejected by everyone else, and the way that the clown attacks them is through the things that they fear the most, through the trauma that they've experienced in their lives. And what the Losers Club has to do is figure out how to band together and take those traumas and those experiences that they've had and turn them into strengths and turn it around and defeat this evil force. And so the Losers Club becomes this almost, we'll call it, communion of saints that is able to figure out how to transform their trauma to defeat this force of evil. So what if we thought of the saints not as the all-star team of the church? What if we thought of the saints as the Losers Club? Now that might seem a little bit disrespectful perhaps, but let's see what Jesus has to think about it, right? Our gospel reading for today was the Beatitudes, which is, we read it earlier this year as well, but the Beatitudes are always the reading for All Saints Day. But why do you think that is? It's kind of a list of qualities, perhaps. It's a list of what it might take to be a saint. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's letting them in on this big truth of what it means to follow him. And when Jesus says, blessed are, he's not saying blessed like hashtag blessed, like happy. He's really using it from a Jewish perspective, which means not about being happy, but being on the right path. That word in Hebrew is ashar, which means to be on the right path, to be doing the right things. So he's saying that the people that are having these experiences are on the right track. They're doing the right things. They're on their way to being the saints. So if we look at the things that Jesus says are blessed, it's kind of the polar opposite of the sort of people that we would honor in our society, right? Jesus is talking about blessing the poor, the sad, the hungry, the meek, the persecuted. These are people who don't fit into the norm of what it means to be powerful and successful and honored. These are people whose identity might clash with the culture around them. These are people who aren't called by their strengths and their attributes of greatness, but they're called by their wounds. And Jesus is saying, these are who are blessed. These are who are on the right path. What makes the saints, in Jesus' words in the Beatitudes, are not the powers that they have, but the way that they transform the suffering that they experience. And so if we think about All Saints as this day where we honor those who have gone before us, we remember that the story of the church is not a story of a bunch of individuals who did great things that we hold up on pedestals. It's people who just did everyday things, people who didn't do things that were great and impressive, but simply had faith. And it was their impact of that faith that I know has brought all of us here today. I know that we can think, each and every one of us can think of somebody in our lives who has impacted us, not through some great achievements, but through who they were and probably how they were able to transform something difficult and turn it into grace. But beyond telling stories about other people, on All Saints we might ask the question, then how can we be saints here and now? Not how can we keep the saints at arm's length, but how can we be like those people? Think of your own life. Think of what unique experiences, including and especially your failures, your disappointments, your woundings. How have those experiences formed you? And how have they equipped you to be a blessing to others? I think every one of us could be the patron saint of something. Maybe not something great and fantastic, but something particular to you. Maybe that's something to think about today. What are you? What could you be the patron saint of? And so my prayer is, as we stand here in this great cloud of witnesses, let's not hold them at a distance. Let's honor them, yes, but let's not put them up on a pedestal. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us how we too are part of that great cloud. That blessed and motley crew of the flawed and the faithful. And let's ask how we, like the losers club, can show up for each other, bring out the strengths in each other, help each other to transform our weaknesses and our trauma into blessing. Because it's not through our own individual efforts, through our own individual striving, but it's through just being a part of that communion of saints that God is transforming the world. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.